short one's from Pat Inglesby.
Ah, yeah.
This one's for John Waters, and it's called Good Enough to Save Your Life. A HIV-positive, manic, depressive, illiterate, homosexual, alcoholic itinerant who had just come out of prison was walking past the canal where he heard somebody shouting and drowning in the river. So he jumped in and rescued her. Thank God you saved me, she said. Thank your lucky stars I didn't have to pass an interview word first. A Hole in the World. This is for our Dublin friends who came on the train. I saw a hole in the world full of still water across the middle of the field and the sky was at the bottom of it.
Thank you, John. Next we have Stanley Knott.
What to do with the O'Veil 7th birthday party owed to me for a couple of days after I left last Monday. So obviously the first decision I made was I dress up. So I got my Porgy dentist t-shirt and my I'm 7 Thunderbirds badge. And then I thought, what do I actually read? So my love of the English language has always been, I suppose, it came very obvious at 13, and it was through music lyrics, and that stayed with me all my life. And I I believe that an awful lot of songwriters are actually just underrated poets. So the piece I'm going to read tonight is by a guy called Tom McRae, he's an English singer-songwriter. It's a piece about a 40-odd-year-old singer-songwriter looking back in his life, having not quite made it, and Tom pictures as the song he wrote, in case Neil Diamond ever knocks on his door looking for a song. So I might end up singing, and I'm a brutal singer, so if that actually happens, I apologize.
You've got about 30,
okay.
30 seconds left.
We won't get through than that. Thought I'd write you a letter about all the things that have changed since the days when we were king and queen of all that we surveyed. We knew all the coolest places, wore the future in our skin, and we stood outside on winter nights and smoked ourselves thin. And we were clever and cynical and fashionably bored. We were walking, talking, time out of New York. But honey, all that's gone. And I used to have opinions and I wore them like my clothes, but what seemed like opposition turned out to be opposed. And we said we were both gonna be big rock and roll stars. My soul never found a buyer, unlike all my guitars. And I've lost touch with many things, rolled myself out of the scene, and time has worn a hole in me, the place I keep my dream. And I don't have a story now, at least not one you care to write. These memories I keep for me, bits and pieces of a life. And I apologize for not dying young, or opening up a vein, and for keeping close the ones I love, and never naming names. To my friends I still sound hopeful, but that's just whistling in the dark, because I'm down here in the dirt with the fossil of my heart. So I hope this letter finds you just as well as when we met. Ambitions may have faded, babe, your beauty never did. And in the night when I have drunk enough and I'm full of hope and wine, I recall a melody, your voice and mine. And we can still be king and queen, if only for tonight, because somewhere in our history, the future's shining bright.
Thank you, Stanley. Next, could we call on Mary O'Connell?
Yeah.
I chose Oh God by Philip Larkin, but it's long, so I just content myself with the first verse. I work all day and get half drunk at night, waking at 4 to soundless dark. I stare in time, the curtain's edges will grow light. Till then, I see what is really always there. Unresting death, a whole day nearer now, making all thought impossible. But how and where and when I shall myself die, and interrogation, yet the dread of dying and being dead flashes afresh to hold and horrify.
Thank you, Mary. Next we have Grant March.
This is a poem by a guy called Taylor Marley. It's called What Teachers Make. The problem with teachers is, what's a kid gonna learn from someone that decided their best option in life was to become a teacher? He reminds the other dinner guests that it's true what they say about teachers, those that can't do and those that can't teach. I decide to bite my tongue instead of his and resist the temptation to remind the other dinner guests that it's also true what they say about lawyers, because we're eating after all, and this is polite conversation. But you're a teacher, Taylor. Be honest. What do you make? What do you make? And I wish you hadn't done that, you see, because I have a policy about honesty and ass-kicking, and that is, if you ask for it, then I have to let you have it. You want to know what I make? I make kids work harder than they ever thought they could. I make a C-plus feel like a Congressional Medal of Honor and an A-minus seem like a slap in the face. Don't you dare waste my time with anything less than your very best. I make kids sit through 40 minutes of study hall in absolute silence. No, you may not work in groups. No, you may not ask a question. Why did I say you can't go to the bathroom? Because you don't really want to go to the bathroom, do you? I make parents tremble in fear when I call them. Call home. Hi, this is Mr. Marley calling. Did I call at a bad time? I just wanted to tell you about something your kid did today. To the biggest bully in the school, he said, leave the kid alone. I still cry sometimes, don't you? And it was the noblest act of courage that I have ever seen. I make parents see their kids for who they are and what they can be. You want to know what I make? I make kids wonder. I make them criticize. I make them question. I make them apologize and mean it. I make them write. I make them read, read, read. I make them spell definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful over and over again so that they will never make that mistake again. I make kids understand that if you've got this, then you follow this. And if someone tries to judge you by what you make, you give them this. Let me break it down for you so that you know what I say is true. I make a goddamn difference. What about you?
I think we all make a difference. Seamus Harrington.
Oh, yeah. My name on the list.
It might be. Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Paul. Just my luck to follow this. This is by Paul Dorkman of this parish a few years ago. Tullino, tete-a-tete in the parish priest's parlour. Ah, he was a good man. He was. He fell out of the train going to Sligo. He did. He thought he was going to the lavatory. He did. In fact, he stepped out of the rear door of the train. He did. And God, he must have got an awful fright. He did. He saw that it wasn't the lavatory at all. He did. He saw that it was the railway tracks going away from him. He did. I wonder if... But he was a grand man. He was. He had the most expensive Toyota you can buy. He had. Well, it was only beautiful. It was. He used to have an Audi. He had, as a matter of fact, he used to have two Audis. He had, and then he had an Avenger. He had, and then he had a Volvo. He had. In the beginning, he had a lot of Vauxes. He had. He was a great man for the Vauxes. He was. Did he once have an Escort? He had not. He had a son, a doctor. He had, and he had a Morris Minor too. He had a sister, a hairdresser in Kilmallock. He had another sister, a hairdresser in Ballybunion. He had. He was put in a coffin, which was put in his father's cart. He was. His lady wife sat on top of the coffin driving the donkey. She did. Ah, but he was a grand man. He was a grand man. Good night, Father. Good night, Mary.
That's okay. Thank you. Next we have Charles Clark.
Well, if he couldn't follow the previous one, I'm not sure what I can follow him. Another translation from the Old Irish by James Carnick. Very well known poem, because it used to be in the school books in a different translation, I think. Winter. News I bring, tell the stag, winter snow, summer past. Wind high and cold, low the sun, short its course, seas are strong. Russet bracken, shape awry, wild goose raises, wonted cry. Cold lays hold on wings of bird, icy time is a hurt.
Thank you, Charles. Now we have Deirdre O'Brien.
The road virus heads west. Don't say vehicle, her name is Babette. Aging, flank heavy, starts to shake at 80 plus. Babs is polymer and alloy, but I'm the non-living component. Face obscured by cowl and aviator shades, exhaling smoke, the dead man inside her. She leaps, black top and unleaded, while we are heading west, like priest and horse to spread divine discontent. Read the writing on the walls of bathroom stalls, lonely truckers, sour-mouthed pucker. We cruise at 70 in the fast lane, let a tailgater tailgate. Wise men meditate and virus percolate. I've got miles yet to learn and highway scrub brush to burn. Navigate by roadsides and western fading sunlight. I don't need the stress of satellite and wire. Babette talks after her engine warms. Questions with precipitous suicidal slope. Whoever put an APB out on a GOD? Don't you get dizzy spinning wheels and eating single serving meals? Why commit to white lines when we can submit to end times together? Oh Babette, one day we may violate a one way, dodge the humdrum and other dumb driving scum, listening to the constant cylinder piston hum. But I hope for better times after we escape the heat of this decaying city, when we can strap in together our combined waste products reduced to fingernail clippings at atmospheric CO2. Like my rages and your despair, the snowstorm in Spokane, the asshole spreading Subaru and Sarkozy, this too shall pass.
Stephen Arena.
Very short. By Chesterton, it's called Elegy in a Country Churchyard. The men that worked for England, they had their graves at home, and beads and birds of England about the cross can roam. But they that fought for England, following a falling star, alas, alas for England, they have their graves afar. And they that rule in England, in stately conclave meet, alas, alas for England, they have no graves as yet.
Thanks, Stephen. Next, Patricia Walsh.
I spent most of this year walking in the Wexford County Archives, and when I was sifting through various papers, one thing that came across was this thing called YOLA. Now, YOLA is a Middle English dialect that was spoken in the Wexford area until the 19th century. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a few verses of a YOLA poem. And being a merciful creature that I am, I'll provide a translation as well. So here goes. Zola song. They tell thee, Zola YOLA, called Jonah, called Naki, thy wealth is Alcoca, Wafer and Corny. Nichwoos and Amila, tis gay and loothy. Pocknire, yard scudding, partuzos, hacky. Well, gossip shall be, Zed, what thee far to and fade. Had died also a very gabble, till he's in to go to glade. Shamastook and O'Donnell will lee out the day. The valour was been here, the lassie church kay. Yesterday we had a barry, gissing o'er a hone. Our gentry's aware, bibbern, am zil cunno stone. Yith mos lira bad ba hole, twas me tamin. Abo mislock was eepit to driven. Jude moon brem, ere key ette as was e lock. The chaperine, am shurin, fanny down e our scoff. Thick black in and blay in, funny ball buzz it drow. Chol well our aim was to you, o's never blow. When water boats high, soon was he tight, and our own was var, aiming our English tonight. Zitch betsin, tarbitsin, tell them whenever they, nor zitchel never well, no never more.
Never may. Thank you, Trish. Sorry we don't have time for the translation. Can we have Colin Scully, please?
This is The Patriot by Robert Browning. It was roses, roses all the way, with myrtle mixed in my pan like mad. The house roof seemed to heave and sway, the church bears flame, such flags they had, the year ago on this very day. The air broke into a mist with bells, the old walls rocked with crowds and cries, and I said, good folk, my noise repels, but give me your son from yonder skies. They had answer, and afterwards what else? Alack, it was I who left with the son, to give him my loving friends to keep. Not man can do have I left undone, and you see my harvest what I reap. This very day no year has run. There's nobody on the housetops now. Just a palsied few at the window set. For the best of the sight is all alow. At the shambles gate, or better yet, by the very scaffold's foot I throw. I go on the rain, and more than needs a rope cuts both my wrists behind. And I think by the feel my forehead bleeds, for they fling whoever has a need, stones at me for my years' misdeeds. Thus I entered Brescia and thus I go. In such triumphs people have dropped down dead. Paid by the world, what dost thou owe me, God might ask. Instead, God shall requite. I'm safer so.
Can you call him? Tina Fisco.
Thank you. Thanks to Paul. I've been involved in this unfinished book poetry project, which is with transition year students. There was a workshop that we did for 10 weeks, and we've got the launch next Friday, the 25th of April, sorry. Anyway, we explored poetry, and one of the things we did was explore different forms, and this is a collective villanelle that they wrote, and it's called Collective Villanelle, because you can find a title, but I have a secret title for it, and I call this Apprendaville. Due to a certain DJ, and also it's a reference to The Hangover.
The Langover.
and this was written by 15-year-old boys together. There are some things that you know are wrong, like laughing at funerals or picking your nose. It's not illegal, but it's frowned upon. Being a member of the Ku Klux Klan or wearing socks with sandals to cover your toes, there are some things that you know are wrong. Sending your son to Douglas Com, putting hoes before bros, it's not illegal, but it's frowned upon. Staring at a girl for far too long, her face, her legs, her tatty bojangos, there are some things that you know are wrong. Buying your granny a Christmas bong, or going to mass in revealing clothes. It's not illegal, but it's frowned upon. Forgetting the words when you're singing a song, or not returning a favor that you owe. There are some things that you know are wrong. They're not illegal, but they're frowned upon.
you, Sheila. Next we have our reigning Fiber Challenge champion, Samir. Samir is champion?
Samir
has to go. Okay. Do we have Jerry Dorgan in the house?
She's gone as well.
She's gone as well. Dean Brown? Do we have Dean Brown? Yay.
I'm going to read a poem by Robert Lowell called Man and Wife, and Milltown, I think, was a tranquilizer that was used recreationally in the 50s. Man and Wife. Tamed by Milltown, we lie on mother's bed. The rising sun in war paint dyes us red. In broad daylight, her gilded bedposts shine abandoned, almost Dionysian. At last the trees are green on Marlborough Street. Blossoms on our magnolia ignite the morning with their murderous 5 days white. All night I've held your hand as if you had a fourth time faced the kingdom of the mad. Its hackneyed speech, its homicidal eye, and dragged me home alive. O my petite, clearest of all God's creatures, still all air and nerve. You were in your 20s, and I, once glass in hand and heart in mouth, outdrank the rabs in the heat of Greenwich Village, fainting at your feet. Too boiled and shy and poker-faced to make a pass, while the shrill verve of your invective scorched the traditional South. Now, 12 years later, you turn your back. Sleepless, you hold your pillow to your hollows like a child. Your old-fashioned tirade, loving, rapid, merciless, breaks like the Atlantic Ocean on my head.
Thank you, Dave. Next, we have Cahill O'Donovan. Cahill?
This is a Les Barker song. It's a parody of some other song. I don't actually know what it's a parody of. Les Barker writes an awful lot of parody work and lots of original work. And so it's usually years after the fact that I find out which ones are which. This one's called The Ballad of Sammy's Bar. I went down to Sammy's Bar, and the lampposts are leaning. Just went down to have a jar on my way up High Road. I only had a pint or two when the lamppost started leaning in the way that lampposts do all the way up High Road. So I moved on to Bottle Stout. Hey, the lamppost started leaving. The buggers keep moving about all the way up High Road. Either I'm completely canned, or the lampposts are leaving. One of them just stepped on my hand on its way up High Road. Must find me car, it's closing time. Me and the lampposts are leaving, but the pavement's so hard to climb on the north face of High Road. I drove away from Sammy's Bar as the lampposts were leaving. Then one jumped out and hit my car, and then it ran away up High Road. They must have drunk too much light ale the way those lampposts were leaning. Why is it me that's here in jail? Well, they're away up high road.
Thank you, John W. Sexton.
I've noticed that you all seem to be reading male poets, so I've chosen a female poet from the classical Chinese. They're ignoring women in the classical Chinese poetry anthologies as well. She's one of the few that got in. Lai Ching Chao, and this is an elegy after the death of her husband, and it's called Earth Ridge in Rotted Blossom. The wind ceases, earth is rich in rotted blossom. At this day's end, I am too weary to braid my hair. What remains now that he is gone? Nothing remains. I try eloquence, but manage only the flowing tear. I hear that at the two-way stream, the water is fair. Thus I long also to float in a boat of petals. I fear, though, that the peony boats of the two-way stream will never sustain my freight of anguish.
Good job. Just a few more. Now we've got Afrin Mugenchi.
Poet John.
Oh, thank God!
As I'm sure you know it, I nearly feel like wondering if you're going to guess. Should I read it and see if you can guess?
Yes. Well, yeah. Yes.
I go back to May 1937. I see them standing at the formal gates of their colleges. I see my father strolling out under the ochre sandstone arch, the red tiles glinting like bent plates of blood behind his head. I see my mother with a few light books at her hip, standing at the pinner made of tiny bricks, with the wrought iron gate still open behind her, its sword tips black in the May air. They are about to graduate. They are about to get married. They are kids. They are dumb. All they know is they are innocent. They would never hurt anybody. I want to go up to them and say, stop, don't do it. She's the wrong woman. He's the wrong man. You are going to do things you cannot imagine you would ever do. You are going to do bad things to children. You are going to suffer in ways you never heard of. You are going to want to die. I want to go up to them there in the late May sunlight and say it, her hungry, pretty, blank face turning to me, her pitiful, beautiful, untouched body, his arrogant, handsome, blind face turning to me, his pitiful, beautiful, untouched body. But I don't do it. I want to live. I take them up like the male and female paper dolls and bang them together at the hips like chips of flint as if to strike sparks from them. I say, do what you are going to do, and I will tell about it.
Perfect. A few more now.
Did anybody know who it was?
Yeah,
Sharon Olds.
Yes. Could we have Michael Ray, please?
The Skip, James Fenton. I took my life and threw it on the skip, reckoning the next door neighbours wouldn't mind if my life hitched a lift to the council tip with their dry rot and rubble. What you find with skips is the whole community joins in. Old mattresses appear, doors kind of drift, along with all that's won't fit in the bin and what the bin men can't be fished to shift. I threw away my life and there it lay and grew quite sodden. What a dreadful shame, clucked some old bag and sucked her teeth. The way the young these days, no values, Me, I blame, but I blamed no one. Quality control had loused it up, and that was that, enough said. I couldn't stick at home, I took a stroll and passed the skip and left my life for dead. Without my life, the beer was just as foul. The landlord still as filthy as his wife. The chicken in the basket was an owl, and no one said, "E, Jim lad, where's the life?" Well, I got back that night, the worse for wear, but still just capable of single vision. Looked in the skip, my life, it wasn't there. Some bug had nicked it, without my permission. Okay, so I got angry and began to shout and woke the street. Okay, okay, and I was sick all down the neighbour's van, and I disgraced myself on the parquet. And then, you know how if you've had a few, you wake at dawn all healthy, like sea breezes, raring to go and thinking, clever you, you've got away with it. And then, oh Jesus, it hits you. Well, that morning just at 6, I woke, got up and looked down at the skip. There lay my life, still sodden on the bricks. There lay my poor old life, arse over tip. Or was it mine? Still dressed, I went downstairs and took a long, cool look. The truth was dawning. Someone had just exchanged my life for theirs. Poor fool, I thought. I should have left a warning. Some bastard saw my life and thought it nicer than what he had. Yet what he'd had seemed fine. He'd never caught his fingers in the slicer the way I'd managed in that life of mine. His life lay glistening in the rain, neglected, yet still a decent and authentic life. Some people I can think of, I reflected, would take that thing as soon as you'd say knife. It seemed a shame to miss a chance like that. I brought the life in, dried it by the stove. It looked so fetching, stretched out on the mat. I tried it on. It fitted like a glove. And now, when some local bat drops off the twig, and new folk take the house and pull up floors and knock down walls and hire some kind of big container, say a skip, for their old doors, I'll watch it like a hawk, and every day I'll make at least, oh, half a dozen trips. I've furnished an existence in this way. You'd not believe the things you'd find in skips.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, just a couple short ones more. We've got Rosie O'Regan next. Rosie O'Regan.
Cheers. I'm going to do one by Pablo Neruda, and then I want to dedicate it to the person that showed me this poem, a woman named Liz O'Halloran, who probably listened on the podcast, and if she was well enough, she'd probably read it herself, so I want to read it for her. Poetry by Pablo Neruda. And it was at that age, poetry arrived in search of me. I don't know. I don't know where it came from winter or a river. I don't know how or when. No, they were not voices. They were not words nor silence. But from a street I was summoned, from the branches of night, abruptly from the others, among violent fires or returning alone. There I was without a face, and it touched me. I did not know what to say. My mouth had no way with names. My eyes were blind. And something started in my soul, fever or forgotten wings. And I made my own way, deciphering that fire. And I found the faint line, faint without substance, pure nonsense, pure wisdom of someone who knows nothing. And suddenly I saw the heavens unfastened and open, planets palpitating, plantations, shadow perforated, riddled with arrows, fire and flowers, the winding night, the universe. And I, infinitesimal being, drunk with the great starry void, likeness, image of mystery, felt myself a pure part of the abyss. I wheeled with the stars. My heart broke loose on the wind.
Thank you, Rosie. So this week, two more Redwood poems, and then we're definitely 7 years old and heading off to Mainz, right? So next up we have Simon Aronson.
These are poems by W.H. Auden. I was going to read the longer one in memory of W.B. Yeats, but a little too long for this time of night. This is one called On This Island. Look, stranger, at this island now. The leaping light for your delight discovers. Stand stable here and silent be, that through the channels of the ear may wander like a river the swaying sound of the sea. Here at the small field's ending pause, where the chalk wall falls to the foam and its tall ledges oppose the pluck and knock of the tide, and the shingle scrambles after the sucking surf, and the gull lodges a moment on its sheer side. Far off, like floating seeds, the ships diverge on urgent voluntary errands, and the full view indeed may enter and move in memory, as now these clouds do that pass the harbour mirror and all the summer through the water saunter.
Thank you. Thank you, Simon, and we're about to kick us out of here. So, last poet of the night, Rav Urquhart.
I know, like, there's been lots of male poets tonight, and a few female poets as well, so I thought I'd do speak up for minorities. So this is written by Hermaphrodite. This is from the Tao Te Ching, so Chinese wisdom, yellow pages, dust, dust, sniff the dust of the ancients. It's Tao Te Ching, verse 11. 30 spokes will converge in the hub of a wheel, but the use of the cart will depend on the part of the hub that is void. With a wall all around, a clay bowl is moulded, but the use of the bowl will depend on the part of the bowl that is void. Count windows and doors in your house as you build, but the use of the house will depend on the space in the walls that is void. So advantage is had from whatever is there, but usefulness arises from whatever is not. Happy birthday to y'all.
Can we have another round of applause for Tom Lister? Thank you all.